Welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I'm the host of this weekly broadcast from Sped Homeschool, as well as the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. We at Sped Homeschool empower families to home educate children with learning challenges. To learn more about other resources and support that we have for families, you can visit spedhomeschool.com. Some of the best resources we have on our website are blogs, products, services offered by our partners who help fund the work that we do. And that is very similar to tonight's sponsor, Write Shop. And you can hear more about them in the middle of the hour and how they offer a product that helps struggling learners. About halfway through, we'll do a highlight of their products. But if you're interested right now, you can check them out at writeshop.com. But each month, our broadcast focuses around a central topic. And this month, we've been focusing on dyslexia, dysgraphia, and dyscalculia. And tonight, we're specifically talking about dyslexia and testing and teaching options that parents have when homeschooling a student with dyslexia challenges. So my guest tonight is Dr. Rebecca Spencer, and I'm going to read her bio so that you can get to know her a little bit. I can find it. There it is. Dr. Rebecca is a certified teacher, administrator, speaker, writer, and mom of a struggling learner who holds a master's, specialist, and doctorate degrees in the field of education. She says that through the struggle of teaching her own struggling learner, her business, Cherish Children Ministries, was born with a mission to liberate children from dyslexia, ADD, ADHD, and other spectrum disorders by equipping and empowering them with holistic educations for success and who God the Creator made them to be. So I'm super excited to welcome my guest tonight. And so welcome, Dr. Rebecca Spencer.
Glad to have you with us. Yes. Thank you, Peggy, so much for having me. I'm always excited to share with fellow moms and homeschool teachers or just educators in the field anything to help them. You know, part of Cherish Children Ministries is that we honor the child as a whole, that they are made by God the Creator. And so we embrace that as a whole. And part of our mission is that we get to take, you know, we're not here to make a lot of money. We're here to actually help children. And so we take a portion of every dollar that is used for our products. And we help missionaries in Guatemala and Jordan. And we have friends in those locations, and they actually are starting schools over in those countries. And to hear their stories and how these resources are not available to them, and they just don't have funds to help their children, so we get to help them with our expertise. So it's a real privilege to be able to do that, and we're very excited to do that. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So I would love for our viewers to just get to know you a little better, and especially since you shared with me that you're really passionate about this topic. And when somebody's passionate about a topic, there's usually a story that goes behind that passion. And so I'd love for you to start out our time in sharing that with us.
Yes. So yes, definitely a story. So educator in the field. I was an educator for 7 years before our oldest son was born. And when he was born, he was just a really bright child. I mean, he learned to read at the age of 3. And, you know, he had his own little quirks, but to teach him how to read was fine. Oh, I've got this mom thing figured out. Yeah. So you can ask me anything. I know it all, right? Like, not really at all. But having, you know, teaching kids to read over the course of those 7 years before having children of my own, you know, I loved that. I loved my teaching career in the public sector. I also was able to teach at the college level. I was able to teach reading 420 at the college level juniors reading classes. And so that was a really eye opener as well, a real eye opener. Mm. And so it wasn't until so I stayed home with our oldest son. And then later we had our middle son. And that's where this was born. Whenever I was trying to homeschool him and teach him how to read. It was, in a nice way, we were in tears every day. It was, I felt like a complete failure. I felt like I couldn't help this child. I would call his dad at work saying, "You're going to have to find someone to teach your child because I clearly cannot do this. I'm a failure and I should never be a teacher." And so that's to put it mildly. It was, and so my heart goes out to those moms because the struggle is,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is so real. And so part of our ministry is that, you know, I'm still taking classes, so I never stop learning. And so I know there are so many really great curriculum out there. There really are, but it's not a one size fits all. There are a few things that do work. You know, there's a lot of systems that are really, really great, but until I could actually figure out what it was based on, you know, all of the teachings, whether that's Barton or Wilson or whatever that is, I needed to know, and I needed to create tools for myself where I could help my child because it wasn't working. And so I feel really bad for mamas out there who are like, "I've spent thousands of dollars on the best curriculum. I've spent thousands of dollars on therapy, and we still are here." And so, honestly, Peggy, it's been a lifestyle change. You know, we do offer services and things, and I really try to encourage mamas out there that it really is a lifestyle change. It's a matter of today, even today, I'm homeschooling my children. I actually took a picture of a disastrous mess. I don't have my phone near me because I'm like, I can't have it going off while I'm in the middle of this. But I took a picture of it, and it's a disaster. It really was a disaster. So those clean pictures of, a beautiful day in a homeschool life, at least for me, being transparent is not real. So that's where this was born. And, you know, every state is different when it comes to testing. Every state is different when it comes to funds. Of course, we have IDEA and, you know, we have, you know, all of the educational bills and everything like that, the laws. But when it comes to dyslexia, you know, it's a spectrum disorder. And whenever we have those spectrum disorders, especially with dyslexia, because you're assessing more than just reading, you're assessing auditory processing, and you're assessing some physical alignments as well as neurobehavioral. And so it's quite the process. And some states do not pay for that testing. And so, you know, we've created our own informal assessment and to give tools to help parents, no matter what state, what country, you know, because that's part of our mission, no matter what country they're in, to be able to use it as a tool to help them assess the child to see if, you know what, I think this is a possibility and I can use these tools right here. And always ask, you know, I'm available via email or, you know, Facebook or however for people to ask questions. So
that's great. So you have these tools and I'd love for you to be able to share with our listeners how they can find those, but also what specifically are you assessing or trying to discover to tell these differences?
Yes, that's a really great question. So first of all, the reason for the assessment. So spectrum disorders are that spectrum disorders. So examples of spectrum disorders, and your listeners probably know this, are dyslexia, ADHD, ADD, autism, and a plethora of many other spectrum disorders. So long story short, because it is kind of long, is the real disconnect is called FDS, so functional disconnection syndrome. And so whenever we have one side of the brain that just maybe grows a little bit quicker than the opposing side of the brain, they have a difficult time communicating. Okay. So, you know, what was thought one time to be whenever that the brain had all of the dendrites that they were ever going to have. That is not true. Healthy neurons, you know, we can continue to build healthy dendrites. Nutrition is a really big component of that. But the dyslexia specifically is where a child is more weak in the left side of the brain. And so that left side of the brain is responsible. It's where the word form area is. And that left side of the brain is responsible for reading. Okay. Now, here's the fun part. God made it, you know, we can ask him later, where the right side of our brain is responsible for comprehension. So if we have one side of the brain, if our right side is stronger than our left, which is typical, maybe not all the time, but typical in our dyslexics, they have these choppy, non-fluent sentences. But then you say, well, what was the story about? And they're able to tell you details. Mm-hmm. I remember that being true with my own son, that he would read choppy, he would decode every single word, choppy, non-fluent, and then ask him just a question at the end. And he was able to answer it with detail. And so I kind of had some aha moments through this process.
Yeah.
And so the idea here in the why, to answer your question, is so that we can figure out what side of the brain is weaker. So the assumption, now it is an assumption that the left side is going to be weaker than the right side in our dyslexic. Again, that's not always the case, but most of the time it is. And so we assess these different things, and I have some paperwork here because I don't want to miss them, because I want your listeners to have all these. But we do a neurobehavioral assessment. We do a physical observation assessment where we test like a head tilt. So if your child is looking at you, do they tilt their head to the right or to the left? And whichever side they tilt it to, the opposing side, that's the weaker side. You can also look at their pupils. And it's really, the pupils are really kind of difficult to see. So this is part of the physical observation checklist. And your viewers and listeners are welcome to, you know, go to the site. I believe it's a free download. If they go to the actual website, Cherish Children Ministries, and then they sign up for a free mini video series, they'll be able to get, it'll send them an email with these links. Okay. Right. So they'll get a link with like the physical observation checklist, the neurobehavioral checklist, and step-by-step on how to do these. And then there's a mini video series that goes along with it that actually shows them how to do it. Okay. So we check for that. We check for facial muscles. So like when your child smiles, they're going to have those, they're called labial lines. And so whenever they are, you'll see one side that might be more distinct than the other. The opposite side is going to be the weaker side. So this is really important. I tell parents, this is what I tell parents. I can assess your child. Anybody that's certified in dyslexia, we can give an assessment, but we really don't know your child like you know your child. So
that's a good point.
So our job, like what Cherish Children does, is we try to teach you as the parent to give you the tools that you need, mm-hmm. because you really know your child better than anybody does. And so the parents that we work with closely, like on site, and we have a course too, and we try to work closely, asking questions of, okay, well, I did this assessment and I still don't understand, so I'm here to help you with that. But the bottom line is that nobody knows your kid better than you do. And so you're going to be the one that's able to do this better. So I give you the tools and then you do the assessment. Another one would be the tongue deviation. And so if your child can stick out his or her tongue, and if it points in one direction or the other, that's going to be the weaker side. We also do a visual assessment. Now, you've heard it said many times that dyslexia is not, it's not a visual kind of a disorder. And while, yes, that is true. You go to the optometrist. This doesn't, you know, go to the optometrist and get 20/20 vision. This has more to do with a behavioral optometrist. And so what they do here is actually put, and part of Cherish Children Ministries is that my dyslexic that I talk about a lot, he raises beagle dogs. And so we put together, he made up Rocket Dog. And so I put together all these little books, that feature Rocket Dog, and to do these exercises with. So inside of here, what we have the child do is we'll have them do a little exercise that looks like this. So I start with, if you can see this, we start with a series of arrows. And so I'll have the child look at my arrows and point with their finger going left to right, which direction those arrows are pointing. And so this is going to help me determine, do they have a visual processing disorder? Okay, so it's not a matter of can they see, They might have 20/20 vision. It's a matter of how their little eyes are processing that, the visual processing.
Right.
So I have them go through the series, and then the arrows get smaller with each page.
Oh.
Okay. And so I have all kinds of different vision exercises on here. And then I have them, one of the exercises that I do, I think I put a video, I maybe sent a video link to you of my child. I would like say a color, and they would move their eyes from whatever color of a bead that I had strung on like a piece of pipe cleaner. And that will help us to know if we have a convergence or a divergence issue. So convergence, okay, is whenever we overshoot or undershoot. And so a lot of times our dyslexics, the example I like to use is Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet. They might read little together when it should be little miss their individual words. And so their little eyes are not getting that. Okay. It's a visual processing, if that makes sense. So we test for that. And you can do that right at home. Anybody that is listening, they can do that at home with their child. Very easy home test. Another one that we do is a tactile assessment. And I'll show you that. With the tactile assessment, we do I create these little shapes here. So here's I have some different pages of shapes that we've made. And so I might have the child look at the circle. And then what I might do is I will have them lie their hand flat. And then I will draw a circle in their hand. And then they need to tell me, based on the picture that I showed them, what shape did I draw?
Okay.
So this is going to be for a younger learner. This is going to be really easy for an older learner. But then they get a little bit more difficult. So then I go to the next page, and you can see, I don't know if you can see that.
I'm going up a little bit. There we go. Yep.
And they might be able to draw some of that. So each one is a little bit more complex and that will help us know if they are having a visual processing disorder. Another little test that you can do at home, it's really easy, is the vestibular assessment. And so what I do here is it's kind of, so if you have a little, like an office chair, just an office chair, okay? And spin your child very slowly. Have them close their eyes, have them sit in the chair like crisscross applesauce. Have them close their eyes. Now, if a lot of times kids that get sick on like roller coasters or rides or car sick, okay, their vestibular is off. And so don't do that with them because they'll get sick on you. But what you could have them do is you could have them lie on the floor, just lie their belly on the floor, lie on the floor, have them look face down and have their arms straight out. And so they're lying down, and then you are in front of them and just gently pick up their arms, have them hang their head and keep their eyes closed, and then gently lay their hands back down very slowly. Okay. And do that about 5 times. And that will help with their sense of where they are in space. A lot of times our kids aren't quite sure where they are in space. And so it's a weak side, and that's where they get sick. And so this has actually helped our middle son, the one that's severely dyslexic. Oh, he would get very, very car sick. And he doesn't really anymore.
That's great.
So it does help. So you can do that at home too. And then, another thing that you can do is, for proprioception. So this is a sense of balance. So we all learned the 5 senses in school, but the 2 that we didn't learn were the vestibular sense and the proprioception. I never knew what those were until I started digging into dyslexia. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. So the proprioception is where we have a sense of balance. So all you have to do at home, very easy again, you might want to, if your child is really off balance, you might want to stand behind them to support them. We don't want them to fall down. We don't want any injuries.
Yes.
Okay. But what you might do is have them stand on 1 foot, put their hands on their hips, stand on 1 foot, see if they can stand there. If they can stand there on that 1 foot, then have them close their eyes See if they can do that. Then try the other foot and see if they can stand. If they can't, have them close their eyes. My assumption, again, is going to be they're not going to be able to do this. But if you do this assessment with them, how do you remedy that? Well, you remedy that by practicing it. So, for example, I have three sons. So my baby son, my youngest, we actually did this today because he still doesn't have this. He's still working on this one. So today, he was getting really, really frustrated. He's also dyslexic. He was getting really frustrated. I'm like, okay, buddy, we need to like take a break and we need to like stand up and do our pink flamingo. And so, I just had him stand up. I had him do that exercise. I also had him, like, if you have flooring, hardwood flooring or anything really, something where they can like walk lines, I have him walk the plank. So walk one foot in front of the other, and you can do that at home. So all this stuff is just so, after you know it, after you have the knowledge, after you have these tools in your tool belt, after you file all of these resources away, all you have to do is just go grab them and pull them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's another way that we assess. Something else that some people do not know. I did put together a checklist. And so this is just a quick checklist to see if you think your child has dyslexia. These are some things to go over. Mm-hmm. For example, does your child struggle in reading and spelling? Put a check beside it if it does. So I just have a series of a checklist of what you can look through to see if, you know what, it's pretty likely they have dyslexia. Do they have choppy, not fluent reading? Do they forget newly learned words? And that was me. I was having to teach the same thing every single day. I'm like, we just learned this. Why am I having to do this all over again?
You know, it's true.
Yeah. So that's also on the website. I think it's actually on the free resources section. They can just go grab the download.
Great. Yeah.
So there's that.
Ministries.
Yes. And the other assessment that we do is auditory processing. So auditory processing, most of the time, again, not all the time, most of the time, it accompanies dyslexia.
Yeah.
So auditory processing and sound discrimination, you know, that's another assessment that you can do with your child as well. Something that is really easy to do is with the sound discrimination activities is, I'll show you an example here. And in all these little books that my son and I made together, in all these little books, there's always a little assessment in the front of them. There's always an assessment in there. So you can even just see where you can start, and it gives a rationale as well as instructions. But we have Chewy and Rascal. They're also companions to our little rocket dog. And so I would hold this picture, and these are all hand painted by a dear teacher friend of mine. She's an amazing artist. So she painted these for me. So I would hold this picture up in front of the child that I'm giving an auditory processing assessment to. Okay. And I would say, on this page, this is the page that mom or teacher is going to read from. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this gives you the instructions. What this says is, which two words have the same beginning letter? And Rascal says bug, stem, bow, and worm. So I'm going to hold this page up to the child, and then we just say, okay, dear, which two words have the same beginning sound? Remember, I said sound, not rhyming. I'm just saying sound. Bug, stem, bow, worm. And they should say bug and bow.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next part, and most of the time they won't get it. They won't get it most of the time if they have an auditory processing issue. Again, how do we remedy that? By doing these exercises.
Mm.
And then the next part of it is, which two words have the same ending sound? So I'll hold this in front of them. Uh-huh. And I'll say, which two words have the same ending sound? Bug, stem, bow, worm. And they should say stem and worm. Most of the time they won't get it. Mm. So there's a whole bunch of these in here. And there's some for older learners as well. That's a question I get a lot. My kids are still not really, our oldest is 14. So I always tell parents, I'm like, when I go through that fire, you'll get those resources. Because that's whenever I do the best creation, is when I'm going through the fire. And I'm like, okay, if I am going through the fire, somebody else is too. So that's how all this works.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So those are some of the assessments that you can do right there at home. Now, I don't know if you have listeners who are in the public sector. It's a lot different.
Sometimes, but, sometimes it's mostly that they're homeschooling at least one child. Maybe they have a child in public or private school as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are some really easy things that you can do at home. Again, if you go to the Cherish Children Ministries website and you just sign up for the free mini video series, you'll get an email, and it'll have the physical assessment. It will have the dyslexia checklist, all of those things for you.
And I'm just going to remind our podcast listeners that is cherishedchildrenministries.org, because you won't be able to see the description here. And also, you shared a lot of different resources with me before we started, and I put those in the YouTube description, but I know that our podcast listeners are going to have to pop over to YouTube to find all those. And I'm also going to link all of Dr. Rebecca's blogs that she's written for the SPED Homeschool website, because they are amazing and filled with so many good things that we haven't even touched on yet. But we do have one viewer who was watching from YouTube. We actually are broadcasting live to YouTube, Facebook, and Periscope right now. And she just says, my twins pass out on every ride, even a merry-go-round.
So they definitely struggle with where they are in space. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and I want to encourage, if you're watching, we have quite a few viewers on right now, I can see. Mm-hmm. And if you have a question or a comment, especially a question for Dr. Becca, she's right here right now. So come ask questions, and we'll incorporate what you have into our conversation.
Yes. One thing, too, I might say another question that gets asked is, what are some of the early signs of dyslexia? And so there's been a little bit of controversy over, well, I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should assess too early. Or, okay, but then if we don't get interventions quick enough, then they're behind. And so there really isn't a nice common consensus on all of that. So I think it's a matter of, it goes back to this. This is what I tell parents and teachers is, you know your kids best. And so I think if you have red flags, then you have that intuition of, maybe I need to check it out, right? And then if you did make a mistake, like this is another thing, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because I make them all the time. And I'm still going to make them. But I have to know that, I'm doing everything research-based as good as anybody, like for my own child. So, as long as you have that confidence and just have the tools in your tool belt, so that you can go back. Like this summer, I may have shared with you, Peggy, even though our middle son, we were making such great strides, have all these resources and was working with our youngest and feeling a little bit more confident again. Again, I think that's where God put you in, like, okay, you need to
don't get too confident,
right? And so then he developed a stutter. But here's the thing. This was the really great thing about this, was that he was actually able to communicate that never happened before. He was able to pull out the language. He was able to tell me what was happening. And then not only was he able to tell me what was happening, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to tell me what was happening. A lot of times these dyslexic kids, they're brilliant. They're so brilliant. And here's what happens. They're so brilliant that they can fool you. They just slip right through those cracks. Like, oh, they're doing great in school. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow. You just filled in words that you don't even know how to sound them out. And so, and so that happens a lot. And so it's a matter of, even with our middle one that was, he's still, he's doing better, but I'm going to stay on the very high end of dyslexia, very severe, that he was able to communicate the stutter. He was able to say, I'm not sure why I'm stuttering, Mom. And then I was just able to go back and do some of the brain exercises with him. So I at least knew what to do. It wasn't a matter of, oh, great, I've done all this work now and it's a failing. No, it wasn't that. It was, oh, yeah, I know that. You're growing. I mean, you've grown 4 inches this summer. Why would your brain not grow? So, of course, it's just keeping it all balanced out. Mm-hmm. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, it completely does. I mean, yeah, we can, you know, help them to certain points. And then all of a sudden we hit that next thing and we walk that road with them. And that's what's great about homeschooling. So we're already halfway through.
Oh my goodness, that went so fast.
It did. I know. We already have one question from a viewer we're going to get to right when we get back. And so you can read that while you're off camera, while I'm doing our sponsor spot. And then I know you also want to talk about brain growth and also nutrition. And so we'll hit on those in the second half an hour. So viewers, do not go anywhere. And I'm going to give Rebecca a break, and we're going to hear from our sponsor, Right Shop, and what they offer homeschoolers. So let me pull up some information here and tell you about Right Shop. All right. How are homeschool writing lessons going for you lately? Are there tears of frustration or long minutes of staring at a blank piece of paper because I don't know what to write about? Well, here's the solution, Write Shop Curriculum. Finally, a writing program that understands the challenges of teaching writing. Write Shop has options for kindergarten all the way through high school with engaging step-by-step lessons. Write Shop gives students the necessary building blocks of the writing process so there's zero frustration. And Write Shop not only teaches kids how to write, it shows you how to teach. You learn to guide them through the writing process and inspire even the most reluctant writers. Parents rave about the results. Sherry in Florida says, I am so pleased with Write Shop. My eighth grader, who was lukewarm about writing and really didn't write so well, is blossoming. Haley in California says, thank you so much for creating Write Shop. It's been a pleasure to teach this curriculum and the results are phenomenal. Our son went from hating writing to asking for more. Visit writeshop.com to take the placement test and to find out which level best suits your child, tween, or teen. With Write Shop, teaching writing has never been easier. And many of our parents tell us that. So also, I want to let you know that I just did an unboxing that will be premiering tomorrow on our YouTube channel of the Write Shop Primary A set. So if you want to see what that looks like, what you get for it, you can watch that unboxing tomorrow. It premieres at noon Central Time, I do believe. So stay tuned for that. Maybe click on a reminder on that part of our YouTube channel. So I'm going to bring Dr. Rebecca back, and we're going to continue this conversation. And like I said, we are going to be building in your comments, your questions, and just want to thank you, Rebecca, for everything that you shared in the first half. It was
absolutely.
It was really good information that I've never heard anywhere. I mean, my middle son, it's my middle child as well that is the dyslexic and the one with the auditory processing issues. And, you know, with his older brother, with all of the autism, like behavioral stuff, he kind of just things we just missed. And you can beat yourself up or you can say, you know what, I've learned when I can learn, and we just did what we could. And so thank you for just all the research that you've done, because that it's so helpful to parents and reassuring that, you know, somebody who has degrees and has taught rate reading still struggles. It isn't just I don't have training.
No, absolutely not.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's why we're here for sure. Absolutely.
So diving into some of our viewers' comments and questions, Paulina, who's watching on our YouTube channel, says, my son has dysgraphia and I think possibly dyslexia. Resources are going to be helpful. Yes, he fooled even the teachers in kinder and first grade. They are smart, aren't they?
They are so smart. They really are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Deanna, also on the YouTube channel, says, my son is 8. We just learned that he has dyslexia. I homeschool him and struggle badly with keeping him focused.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any suggestions on that front?
Yeah. So real quick, one thing I forgot to mention was that a lot of kids that actually have dyslexia, before it was discovered that they had dyslexia, were misdiagnosed to be ADHD. And so real quick to encourage you. Paulina. Yeah. Okay. I think parents just, we as parents, myself included, just want so badly to know what is wrong. What have we done wrong? What can we do to fix it? And so, I really try to, like, whenever, Peggy asked me to write a blog or something, I try to really delve into some really deep research and figure out, okay, so medications aren't really necessary. They're not all bad in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I would never, ever say anything like that. It's just that sometimes it's a misdiagnosis or perhaps even an overdiagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so, and the thing is with kids who that I have worked with that, they have been medicated for ADHD. Well, ADHD is actually where you have a heavier left brain, and dyslexia is where you have the heavier right brain. And so whenever it was discovered that the child actually, had more dyslexia, they were off of their medications and then did the simple brain exercises with Rocket Dog. Those are also over the shop. Oh, by the way, Peggy, I don't think I told you this, but anybody listening, and that wants that coupon, it's all capital letters, Cherish21.
Okay.
And they just get 20% off of everything. And all the resources, the digital downloads, they're cheaper than the physical copy. And mm-hmm. I think they're less than $20. So, I mean, awesome. It's, but with the Cherish21, it's an additional 20% off. But those, you get all those, like, these are the digital downloads of the brain exercises. And so to answer, Deanna...
Yeah, Deanna, she had said that her son struggled bad, and then Paulina said that she agreed, and then Creative Minds Homeschooling popped on and said, focus, what is that?
Oh, right?
So we have three viewers now that are agreeing that focus is an issue.
So here's what I would do, in all honesty, because I struggle with this too, with our middle one, the severely dyslexic one. So I'm going to read you just one of the exercises that we have in here, and it really did help, okay? So let me back up first. I'm getting ahead of myself because I have 5 million things to say. Before you do any of that, make sure they have their primitive reflexes integrated. So I've worked with, that's really big. I have nurses and physical therapists who I work with, and they're like, we never learned this in our program. Mm-hmm. We knew they were a thing, but we never knew that our kiddos were hanging on to them. And so if you don't know, which you probably do, so I'm sorry for repeating myself. No. If you don't know, those primitive reflexes are found in the base of the brainstem. And so in order for the higher level learning to occur, like in the word form area, those primitives actually need to be integrated, not gone away. We're not trying to like get rid of them forever, because later in life we might have to rely on them again. Mm-hmm. But just trying to get them suppressed so that we can get those higher level learning functions to occur, if that makes sense. Okay. And so, again, we have the primitive reflexes.
And you have a blog on the SPED Homeschool website too, about the primitive reflexes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And there's I have a YouTube channel. I think I shared it with Peggy.
Yes. That's in the YouTube description of this video as well.
Yeah. So do that first, but then after you do that, do the brain exercises. I'm going to share one with you, and this might help him focus. Also, another thing that I say about focusing, because I do this, it's a struggle. The struggle is real in the Spencer home every day, is we have to take breaks. We have to take brain breaks. Mm-hmm. We cannot just sit down for 3 hours and get all of our homeschool done. That's a dream. So if anybody has figured that out, let me know.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that you could do are one of my kids' favorite things. I'll share two of them with you because these are so fun. So to help with the auditory and the verbal, auditory to gross motor, auditory to verbal, and auditory to fine motor. So for auditory to gross motor, this is one of the exercises, is to ask a child to sit with their back to you and have them lower their chin to the chest and you're going to make noise with like a something plastic. I put a plastic bag. You can do whatever. You can do with a plastic lid, anything where it's a distinct kind of a noise.
Yeah.
And then have them raise their chin up to the sky when they hear a different sound. Like maybe you make a noise with a paper bag, something that's, or maybe like a rattling can, something that's a completely different. I'm just reading those chats. different, distinct sound. Okay. And so that's going to help them focus. They're going to have to really think about this. Mm-hmm. What are they asking me to do? Oh, yeah. They said, put my chin down when I hear that noise, up when I hear it. Oh, yeah. So they have to think. Uh-huh. Okay. So that's auditory to gross motor. Then for auditory to verbal, have the child say paper when you make the noise with a paper bag, and have the child say pepper when you make the noise with the plastic bag. So they have to think. They have to really think. It's auditory again. We're right. starting with that same sound. We're ending with that same sound. So they have to really process that. Mm-hmm. And don't get, that's another thing is I would tend to get frustrated. I would tend to be like, I can't believe you can't even do this. Like in the beginning. And, but don't worry. Please don't stress us. One thing I just want to encourage you, please don't beat yourself up. Please don't beat yourself up and say, I'm doing all this wrong. None of this is working. Because if you're consistent, it really does work. Just try to make it consistent. Mm-hmm. Try to make it a part of your day. And please don't make yourself feel bad. If it's a bad day for the child and you're having a bad day, just hang tight. Again, another beautiful thing about homeschool, just it's okay. Go play outside or something.
Right.
And then auditory to fine motor is you ask the child to like snap. If they can't snap, mm-hmm. hug them, like click their tongue, something that they can do or clap.
Right.
Okay. Then whichever that they can do to make a noise or whenever you make the noise with the paper bag, mm-hmm. and then to do something different whenever you make a noise with a plastic bag. So again, they're having to think about that, but they're mm-hmm. getting their wiggles out a little bit. Something else I pulled up here. I think I saw somebody that said dysgraphia. Oh, there's lots of chats
here. It was dysgraphia. That was Paulina, and she was the one who agreed with Deanna about the focused issue. The one household under God said I was assessing him the other day. They said, and they could read every word I put in front of him on a colored card, but was so choppy in a sentence or a book. And then we also started the booklet with exercises and hearing the beginning and sounds, but it was a major struggle. So,
It is. It is a major struggle. Just keep practicing. Mm-hmm. Just keep practicing. Maybe don't show a new one until the child gets that one down. So that's another thing too, are little tiny wins, little tiny successes, and celebrate that, because these kids, if they're like mine, their confidence was so low. They felt like they couldn't do anything right. Mm-hmm. Then mom's frustrated on top of it, and it's disastrous.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Diane Kraft's program? They have homeschooled, asking if it's similar or different.
Oh, you know what? I have heard of Diane Kraft, and she does a lot of good things. Yeah, I don't.
She does more of the biology of the brain. She does the integrating as far as like exercises, but I haven't heard of any of the things that you're doing, like with the pictures and the auditory processing. I know Dr. Jan Bedell does a lot of auditory processing, visual processing as well, and Equipping Minds. I think that's what your program reminds me a lot of, is, you know, changing those brain building actually neural pathways, mm-hmm. is what mm-hmm. you're doing in those two sides, those connections. Mm-hmm. So, but another one from YouTube is asked, says, I have a 14-year-old daughter, dyslexic and executive functioning issues. She used Barton reading and spelling through book four, still reading only second grade level. What else do you recommend?
So Barton, the Barton and the Orton Gillingham are, I know those are expensive mm-hmm. programs, but usually any type of reading program does have some type of a style. It has some of those basics in it. Multisensory, I would encourage, keep doing multisensory. Right. I just purchased some of these little pop-ups just like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, off of Amazon. Little pop-it.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we give them away at conferences as giveaways. Yeah. Those pop-it things.
They're a little pop-it. Yeah. And have her do like spelling and, pick out some key terms or something with that. And then I'm not sure when you say second grade level, if you're talking, like, it kind of depends. I work with so many different reading programs.
right?
I hate to say it's second grade level because, I mean, who was it? The program that said it was a second grade reading level? Was it the, is it mom saying, I'm not sure if it's the program saying that or who exactly that is, but I don't think I'd stress too much about a level. That's one thing I've told myself is I'm not stressing about a level. Now I'm not mom. So if you, if that's how you feel, then you need to do that. But I found that successes for us in my severe dyslexia comes much better when I don't even think or tell him or myself about a level. And we just work towards small wins every day. Right. And then that's how, when I see the most growth. But one thing that has helped with him are those pop-its and something else I'm going to show you here that, I think you can grab this. I think I sent Peggy a link to this. And if not, email me and let me know and I'll send it to Peggy. But I made this little, this is a writing eight ABCs.
Yes.
And this is working both sides.
The link is in the YouTube description, actually.
Okay, yeah. So they trace, I'll just tell you about it instead of letting you watch it. So I put music to it, but they basically, you can do this with any sheet, eight and a half by 11 sheet of paper, fold it in half, draw a line down the middle, draw a circle on each side. How the child, with one color of a crayon, make a figure eight, 6 to 8 times, one direction, then help them make, have them make a figure eight. And that sounds babyish, but it's not, it'll help in the other direction. And then start where you had that line, put a little circle in the middle of your two circles for your figure eight and write a lowercase a, a lowercase b, a lowercase c, and so on all the way to z. So what that's going to do is that is separating the sides of the brain. They're having to, they won't be able to do this the first time probably, so don't get frustrated.
Yeah,
you'll have to show them how to do it. And with the link that I sent Peggy, the different colors show you what's expected, shows you how to do it. And of course, if you have any questions, message me and I'll tell you how if you need additional help with that. But that, that has been a key for our home this year. And our middle one that's severely dyslexic is in sixth grade. So sixth grade was the transition year for us. And another thing also, just so you know, poetry, standing up. Part of, I put together a five-part lesson plan. If you can incorporate an hour every day in your homeschool, and if you want that four-part lesson plan, I think it's over in the shop and it comes with some of these exercises and use the code in there to grab it. If you can do that every day, if you can do that four-part lesson plan every day for 4 days and you start it, say, well, this is the end of October. I always say if you start in September, you'll see results by Christmas. But if you start it, say, next month, expect to see results by Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Actually seeing the results. Now, here's the truth of the matter. Results are happening, but since you're with your child every day, you're not going to see them as much because you're with them.
Right.
So just take a break and, like, don't worry about assessing anything yet. But I do have those assessments in there, too, like the word recognition assessment, just to make sure that progress is being made.
Right.
So you wanted to talk about nutrition.
Yes, definitely. I just wanted, Deanna did make a comment. She said, yes, thank you. I really had been feeling like I was failing him. Now I can work with him knowing how to help both of us. So So thank you so much, Rebecca.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but yes, I definitely want to hit on the nutrition piece because we get 12 minutes left. And
Nutrition is like its own podcast. So
yes, I know.
You might have to do that later.
Another blog, right?
Right, have to write another blog just on nutrition. Yeah, it's big, but I'll touch on it here for you. So, what should our kids be eating?
She said. The viewer said she doesn't get vowel sounds in words when reading. That was the same question.
That's about typical. Garden reading. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep plugging. Keep doing it. Just they'll get there. They will get there. Okay. So.
So back to nutrition.
Nutrition. Okay. So only 1% of our kids actually do receive what they need to receive. Isn't that crazy? An average of 40% receive the daily caloric intake in the form of fat, and that's not really the good fat, but we do need to know that fats are good. So we've gone from one extreme to the other of, okay, fats, you know, lots and lots of fats to, okay, no fats. And so that's neither one of those are optimized optimizing the learning for our children. So we have good guys and bad guys, like what I like to call them. So the good guys are going to be your fresh fruits. The good brain foods are going to be your fresh fruits and veggies, fish, grass-fed beef, nuts and seeds, and whole grains. And then the bad guys are going to be wheat gluten. So if your child has a gluten, now that's not true if your child isn't gluten intolerant. That's only if there is a lot of times, we think our kids are gluten intolerant and it's not gluten at all. So if they are, it can be a troublemaker. It can really be a bad guy. Dairy casein, processed sugars, processed foods, food dyes. And I always say, I always say to my kids, don't drink red Kool-Aid. Pick a drink that's not red, no red dyes, and other food additives. So what should our kids be eating? 6 to 11 servings of hearty grains and 3 to 5 servings of veggies. And preferably raw. Cook them if you need to, but raw is better. 2 to 4 servings of whole fruit. So I always discourage fruit juices because they have so much sugar.
Sure. Right.
Mm-hmm. 2 to 3 servings of dairy products and 5 to 7 ounces of meat. So we want to replenish our vitamin stores. Whenever we have a weak hemisphere of the brain, and this is probably what I'll write a blog on soon, is whenever we have a weak hemisphere in the brain, do you know what that means? This is crazy, but it usually means that we have a weak digestive system.
Yes.
And so you have kiddos that have tummy aches and leaky gut, and our baby boy, that's partly of what his issue was. So, so how does it work? Well, so the vitamins. Okay, vitamins are really important, and your top vitamins are A, B, C, folic acid, and D. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can get these in foods. You do not have to take $5 million of vitamins, okay? You can get these in foods. So vitamin A, you need 10,000 units, okay? And you can get vitamin B and C and 500 milligrams 2 times each day. Okay. So eat an orange for breakfast and, you know, add some of those into your dinner time. Or, folic acid comes in the form of lots of different foods. Like if you read on your boxes, even of cereals, there's tons of folic acids in most of your foods, leafy greens, you know, the 6 power foods are your healthy fats, your leafy green vegetables, your cruciferous are going to be like your cabbage and
Brussels sprouts,
things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then your grass-fed beef and fish, and then your berries, your best berries are going to be like your blackberries, your raspberries, your blueberries, your strawberries. Mm-hmm. So, vitamin C can actually increase, student scores on their IQ test by an average of 5 points.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then your healthy fats are going to be like, you know, your real butter, your olive oils, things like that. Mm-hmm. Nuts are fatty, yes. But almonds are really good for you. So,
I do have a question about supplements and also about fish oil. So Pauline asked about supplements, and Creative Minds Homeschooling asked about fish oil.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Fish oil is really good. If you can find it. Yeah. I just, you know, fish oil is one of those really great. It's brain. It's free. It helps the.
You just have to make sure that it's brain. Clean because there's a lot of mercury in fish. Yeah. And so make sure that it's tested.
Yeah, do check your fish.
As far as supplements, I mean, what I look at is to make sure it's organic because you're just going to increase your toxin load by taking supplements that have concentrated toxins in them. So,
absolutely.
It's a win-lose if you're doing it cheap.
It is. Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So on the spelling, just to touch on that real fast, you want to make sure you're doing those right brain kinds of exercises for the kids for spelling. And that is also in that lesson plan that's over on the website. If you use the code CHERISH21, it's included in there too.
Okay.
And I think I may have sent you a link for that, Peggy. Yes. But
It's in the description.
I use all kinds of our kiddos who are dyslexic. They're visuals. They want to see these things. Mm-hmm. And so we've created a set of our own phonics cards just because that's the thing. Awesome. When I am going through the fire, I have got to find something that's relatable to my kid. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm all about not reinventing the wheel, but if that wheel's not working for me, I have to figure out something that is.
Right.
And so, that's awesome. All these resources come from, all of that. But I always encourage that right brain spelling. So if your child, mm-hmm. the example that I like to use is the word is animal and your child spelled animal, A-N-I-M-O-L. Go ahead and mark it up. So make it big, make it bold, have your child do it. So make A-N-I-M and then where they put the O, like put an apple there. A picture of an apple, make a huge A where they know it's animal, even though we don't say animal. That's the worst mm-hmm. part about our language, but where they know that, oh yeah, I know there's an apple at the end of that, so it's A-L. So, mm-hmm. so it's visual for them. Yeah, definitely. Write them in the sky. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to tap our words too, because when we tap the words, that helps. So I might go A-N-I-M-A-L, animal. Mm-hmm. So that helps as well.
Right.
So there's lots of spelling strategies with right brain because our dyslexics are heavier. They're stronger in the right brain.
I think we have various videos on our YouTube channel from previous interviews. So if you're looking for additional ones, just search spelling on our YouTube channel. You'll find a whole bunch.
So if you need any assessments or you're missing something, let me know. And hopefully you'll be able to do all those assessments at home in the comfort of your own home without spending money on a therapist to do those for you.
Yeah. Well, this has all been really good information, Rebecca. So can you remind us again how to find you? And I know I just want to tell our viewers that all of the links that Rebecca was talking about, including her website, is on the YouTube description. So if you don't want to have to type anything in, you think you're going to misspell it, just go to the YouTube description and click on them. So tell us just about your website and
absolutely
you can find there.
Yeah. So just go over to the website. Like Peggy said, there's free resources over there. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. We try to come out with a video at least once a quarter. Really, we try to make our videos longer and more powerful instead of just some short ones and based on time. And I'm busy with my dyslexic. So trying to make really good quality videos is kind of a challenge. But we do try to do that to share everything that we have. And then we do have two courses. They're marked down for Peggy as well. You don't need a code for those. It's Struggling Learner to Thriving Achiever. Everything we talked about here, they're over on the website. If you go to courses, all of the books, all the Rocket Dog, every single book is over in there. All the resources, probably more information than you ever wanted to know, to be quite honest. But you at least have a huge binder for your resources. And then we also have Can't That Child Hear Me, the auditory processing course. But the auditory processing course is also included in the Struggling Learner Thriving Achiever. It's kind of like the master flagship class. So we have that. And then we always try to update. We drop things in there all the time, new things all the time. So we just try to stay up to date. I'm actually going to be doing another cohort, learning more so I can share with you. So I just try to stay up to date. So
yeah, that's great. Well, Rebecca, I just want to thank you for all you've had to share with us. It's been
absolutely.
It's kind of like this flood of information. I'm looking forward to watching it again tomorrow and definitely encourage everybody to listen again or to watch again because you're a wealth of information. And thank you so much for all that you're doing. It's definitely not just helping your son, you're helping others too. And it's much appreciated.
Well, we hope so. Thank you for having me and we'll just embrace these brilliant kids together.
Exactly. Yes. I'm getting a little echo, so I'm going to put you off screen while I do my wrap up. And if you want to hang around for when I'm done, we can chat afterwards. But I want to see what anybody's. Yeah. Deanna says, thank you both. I want to make sure I got that in there. So all right. Well, we'll say goodbye to Rebecca and I'm going to just wrap up the show and pull out this banner here and thank Write Shop again for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. And I want to thank you for just joining us on this episode as well. And this is just one of the many resources we at Sped Homeschool make available to families home educating kids with learning struggles. As Rebecca talked about, we have quite a few of her blogs also on our website. And so you can find those as well as a lot of other resources too. And thank you again, Write Shop, for your sponsorship. If you want to check out a writing program, see if that might be a good resource for you, check them out at writeshop.com. Next week, we are kicking off a new series, as November is a new month, and that's starting next week already. Wow. But we're talking about teaching your child at their own pace. And so next week, we're going to be talking about why standard early intervention programs really may not be helpful. And so if you're thinking of using one of those programs, and definitely want to join us for that conversation. Or maybe if you've used one and thought, shouldn't they have helped my child? And so just some more information about that. So I hope you can join me then. But in the meantime, make sure to stay connected with us on our website at spedhomeschool.com, and also our new learning and community platform, empoweredhomeschool.org. And of course, don't forget to visit Rebecca's website at cherishedchildren.org. So thank you, everybody, and have a great night.
Two weeks old in an iron lung, which is, you know, like a sealed oxygen unit, fighting for my life. I couldn't breathe properly. Apparently I didn't make a sound from the day I was born because my lungs were all messed up.
That's Martin Smith of Delirious sharing a personal testimony on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us weekly to hear songwriters, worship leaders, filmmakers, and other creatives tell stories in the form of a devotional. The Walk can be found on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast platform.